The art of war teaches us to rely not on the likelihood of the enemy's not coming, but on our own readiness to receive him. Not on the chance of his not attacking, but rather on the fact that we have made our position unassailable. And this week's opening quote comes from Sun Tzu. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. That's something that we forget to take into account when dealing with this system, folks, and when trying to find a way out of this system, we often fail to recognize the reality that we are at war here, ladies and gentlemen. We're at war with our politicians. It's a covert war. It's a war that exists beneath the surface. It's not a war that's being fought with conventional weapons. It's not a war that's being fought in any way that seems normal. It's a war that's being waged using silent weapons and covert weapons and mind control, but it is a war nonetheless, because the reality is that there is a criminal class that is ruling this earth that are carrying out a slow kill operation against the populace. And the reason they get away with doing what they're doing and continuing it is because they know it's a war, but we just don't ever catch on. We don't ever view ourselves as being in any type of battle. We just think, well, it's all corrupt and people do corrupt things. We don't really face the grim reality that no matter whether it's a slow kill or a fast kill, a kill operation is a kill operation. And that's what's happening to the people of the world. As I said many years ago in my first film, World War III has already started. It's just that people don't realize what World War III is, because what World War III is a war that the ruling elite is carrying out against the population of the world in every single country. And this is a multi-generational battle that's been going on, folks. It really is. There's a great saying as well by someone else who is Chinese. I can't think of their name offhand, but they said words to the effect of, if you wish to take over a country, educate their children. And that's what's happened. Through a series of generations, we've had our life skills removed from us, and we've had our concept of reality removed from us. And what is happening with this digital world that is rolling out now is we're having the last vestige of any life skills taken from us. We're having our cognitive function removed from us, and everything that it means to be human removed from us. And it doesn't really have to be that way. I mean, technology is great. We could use technology to our benefit, and we could lead humanity into a really wonderful place. We have all the means to do it at the moment. We have some incredible tools at our disposal and some great mechanisms that have been put in place to give us freedom, should we choose to grasp that freedom. As I've been saying so often lately, our one problem is that we're failing to factor in the reality that the world is run by criminals. There's people at the top that are doing very bad things. This has all been exposed a lot more lately with the QAnon information that's come out. But again, I don't put a lot of faith in this. I don't put a lot of faith in mass arrests actually solving anything, because the real problem is the smart grid. The one thing that I'm saying that is good about the QAnon information is that it's bringing a lot of stuff that we already knew to the attention of the mainstream. And that's a good thing. It's good that people are beginning to know about this. But, you know, I haven't heard anything from Q that wasn't stuff that we already knew. That's the thing. That's what happens when a lot of this sort of information happens. They call it an intelligence dump or whatever. It's just confirming stuff that we already know. Well, not even confirming it. It's just saying stuff that we already know. You can't say it's confirming it, because we can't realistically confirm the sources. But it is saying things that the public need to hear. But again, you've got to look at that. You know, things like Blavatsky's concept of the externalization of the hierarchy certainly come to mind when exposing the activities of this criminal elite. When it comes so publicly, you really have to wonder what the real motivation and intention behind all this is. And again, you've got to look at it on the world stage, and you've got to look at what else is going on, because it isn't just about QAnon. It isn't just about the American political system. There's an entire system going on here, and it's in every country, and it's also the smart grid. There's so many things going on underneath it that simply aren't being addressed by this QAnon information dump. So it's important to continue to maintain focus on the bigger picture through all of this. Now, returning to the opening quote by Sun Tzu, when he said, "It isn't about depending upon the enemy not attacking, it's about making your position unassailable." This is precisely what the ruling kakistocracy has done. They've created a situation whereby they believe themselves to be unassailable. And in many ways they are, because they've got the financial backing to be unassailable, they've got the legal system in their pocket, they've created a system whereby we're all tied up in red tape any time we try to find any remedy at all. And again, they have the financial backing to get those people who mean something, those people who can affect the outcome of trials and the outcome of these situations, to get behind them, because it's all economically based. They don't think that the people down at the bottom of the food chain are ever going to have the financial backing they need to be able to do what they need to do to become free. And so they consider themselves to be pretty safe and pretty untouchable and pretty unassailable. And if we wish to mount any type of response to these people, which we have been attempting to do in whatever way we can find, what we need to do is we need to make our position unassailable as well. Because they will come for us if we attempt to go against their system. And I mean, they're coming for us anyway, folks. They've always been coming for us. That's what the whole thing is about. Everything they do is to control and curtail everything we do. And so we need to factor that in. And we need to realize that we are constantly under attack anyway. And what we need to do is we have to create a situation whereby they can't keep attacking us because we are unassailable. And how do we do that? Well, we need the strength of numbers, and so we need to find the mechanism to get the word out to as many people as possible. And of course, in order to do that, we need the financial backing to do that, because again, this system is an economically based system. And even earlier when I said people don't have the financial backing they need to do it, they need to become free, it's because what they need to do is reach vast amounts of people so that we can all stand together. And of course, you can't do that if you don't have the money to get the word out to people. So we need financial backing in order to create freedom because of the current economic dilemma that we're caught up in. And it is kind of possible for us to do that, folks, because when you look at this system, it's all economically based. And if you've got enough money, you can basically do whatever you want to do. And when you look at the cryptocurrencies have provided a means whereby any individual, any man on the street, any garden variety person can obtain independent wealth in a very short space of time if they play things correctly. And there's been a lot of confusion with my stance on cryptocurrencies lately because I've been pointing out the dangers of cryptocurrencies in regard to how they can be manipulated to be used in the smart grid, or at least how the smart grid can be manipulated and constructed in order to make cryptocurrencies work fine within it. And people have misconstrued this and thought, well, Max is speaking out against cryptocurrencies. And it's been very extreme on both sides. You know, if you criticize cryptocurrencies a little bit and point out how they can be manipulated and used according to the smart grid, a lot of the crypto people will jump on you and say, oh, you're attacking cryptocurrencies. And if you promote them in any way, a lot of the other people will say, oh, look, you're promoting the slavery system. So they're not really looking at the bigger picture because there's a middle ground there. There's nothing wrong with cryptocurrencies. What's wrong is social crediting and the system that can be brought into umbrella the entire cryptocurrency system. So people worry about the cashless control grid and they think cryptocurrencies are leading us into a cashless control grid, but they don't even understand what the cashless control grid is. I mean, what's wrong with having no cash? People wouldn't see that this would be a problem at all if it wasn't for social crediting. That's the problem. It's the social crediting system that is the problem, and that is the umbrella that is being created, which will checkmate the cryptocurrency if the cryptocurrency people don't pay attention to social crediting and how it can be used to circumvent what they're attempting to do. But cryptocurrencies themselves can be quite beneficial. I mean, I know people that have used cryptocurrencies and have played the markets a little bit and done very well. As long as you're not completely dependent upon them and you're not going to be completely locked into this digital system when you're working with them. And even the cryptocurrency people don't recommend that you do that. I mean, Jeff Berwick, who many people consider to be a guru in that field, even Jeff Berwick recommended when Bitcoin peaked at about 20 grand, he recommended that you pull most of it out and turn it into gold at the time and take it back down to what your original investment was because it couldn't last. It was a peak and even he recommended pulling some out, and good on him for doing so. So It's how you use the currencies and what you do with it is the important thing. I mean, I know people that have invested in cryptocurrencies, they played it for a year, and a year later they pulled all their money out and gone and bought a house. So the thing is not just putting it all in there and leaving it all in the digital world. You've got to be able to use both worlds and use both things. But while the cryptos are there and they're being so volatile and they're up and down and the markets are so usable, why not put a little bit in there and see what you can get out of it and put it back into hard metals or put it back into a house or whatever? You know, that's not the problem. The cryptos aren't the problem. The problem is social crediting and the system that can be brought in if the entire economic system is ever allowed to go completely digital. So the problem is that people simply aren't looking at the entire picture. They're getting very polarized in their thinking about it. You know, the people who are completely supporting cryptos are not thinking about social crediting, and the people who are completely against cryptos simply aren't looking at the bigger picture. Again, it's about making your position unassailable. And how do you do that? Well, you need the financial backing in order to do that. And that's where cryptos can help while the market is doing what it's doing. You know, it's all about how we play this situation, folks. We just got to factor in the reality that the world's run by criminals. But there are certain tools that are available to us now whereby people can gain independent wealth and thereby find a way out of this system, or at least have the financial backing behind them to be able to mount some sort of effective challenge against this system. And that's what cryptos can do for you if you play them correctly. Like I said, just use them as a tool. Don't allow all your money to sit in the digital world so it can all disappear at the flick of a switch. But at the same time, don't be scared of playing with these things, and don't be afraid of using the tools that are available to us. You know, it's a problem. A lot of people look at things, they become very polarized in the way they view them, and they fail to see that all of these things are tools. It's just what people do with them. And the digital currency, the cryptocurrency, is simply a tool we can use. All these things are tools we can use. But at the moment, as I'm saying, it's a financially based system, so you need the financial backing behind you in order to make some sort of a difference, in order to push back against the system anyway. And so why not use cryptocurrency to get that financial security in order to be able to do that? You know, we've got to look at both sides of things, folks, and not allow ourselves to be polarized in our thinking, and not allow ourselves to miss out on some of the tools that are available to us, because these are things that are being used against us. It's like television's been used against us for so many years, and here we are doing things like posting on YouTube and creating videos and creating information movies, so we're using that same medium in order to deprogram people. It's just how you use the tool. Of course, they're attempting to prevent us from having access to these tools. They work very hard to do that. As soon as they find us making a difference somewhere, they try to block us off at every turn in the pass. The YouTube purge seems to be going ahead full steam as more channels have been deleted, and the Facebook censorship is also going ahead full steam. And again, I would suggest that many people get off these platforms as much as they can and move over to other platforms. I've been posting a lot on Steemit, and that seems to be working out pretty well. Steemit is a good platform, folks. It is. I'm finding a lot of support on Steemit, and I'm finding a lot of good posts on Steemit. It's just getting used to the new platform. I intend to be posting on MeWe a little bit more as well, and trying to move away from Facebook. I really don't post on Facebook that much anymore anyway. I really only post my weekly shows there, but I'm attempting to move away from these platforms. I will continue to upload my shows to YouTube, but I will be uploading to DTube as well, and posting more to Steemit than Facebook. So I do recommend people move over to these new platforms. Far less censorship, ladies and gentlemen. Far easier to coordinate when there's far less censorship. At least we can communicate with each other and we are able to share information on other platforms. There has been people talking about mounting legal action against YouTube. I don't know whether anyone's done so or whether they've had any success, but people really need to start mounting some sort of a protest about this, because YouTube is just taking it upon itself to delete years of work from people. If it deletes my channel, it'll be deleting like 10 years' work. So this is just not really acceptable that it can do that. YouTube needs to be looked at as more of a public utility than a private company. And some account needs to be given to the amount of work people have put in and how many years they put into supporting the platform and building it up to what it is. And again, it's all economics, the reason YouTube is doing this. That's some of the excuses that they're finding to do it anyway. A lot of the reason they're banning channels and they're deleting channels is for bully and harassment. And a lot of what they're saying is that the channel is not suitable to run advertising on, so therefore it's not a viable channel. And this is what happens when you become a partner and you monetize your channel. Suddenly you have to fit in with their advertising guidelines. This is another one of the reasons why I've never monetized my channel. Now, I never monetize it because I really want people to know that I don't do this for money. It's not about that. And also because of the guidelines that go with partnering with YouTube. Once you partner with them, it becomes very easy for them to delete your channel. And again, it's all economically based. So again, you can see that this is an economically based reality. So if we want to make ourselves unassailable by those that are attacking us, and they are attacking us, we are under attack all the time, as I was saying. If we want to make ourselves unassailable in that sort of a position, we need to have the financial support to be able to do so, which is why cryptocurrencies could help in this situation. So don't be afraid of these things, folks. You can use this to your benefit if you do it in the right way. As I said, just don't become completely dependent upon it. You know, you can walk with one foot in the fiction and one foot in reality. That's really how you can get through this system anyway. I mean, I've done whole shows about that, shows such as You Walk Into Realities, where I've said that the easiest way to get through this life is to have one foot in the fiction and one foot in reality. You can't step out of the fiction completely because you isolate yourself too much. Now, even I, with the things that I do, I have a passport, I have a driver's license, I register my car. I do these things simply because it's a lot easier for me to get through my life that way, and it enables me the freedom to be able to do what I want to do, to perhaps be able to create more freedom, more real freedom. So you've got to be careful in how much you want to step outside the system, and be careful of how polarized you become in your thinking. You know, there are tools here that we can use to our advantage if we play ourselves correctly. I mean, a passport, sure, it's something that restricts movement, but again, it's a tool that enables me to cross borders without any real restrictions, so it enables me to go around the world and talk to people. Same as a driver's license and registration, they're things that restrict my movements and cost me money, but without them, I have to stop and explain myself to a police officer every 5 minutes, and it becomes a hassle to get through the day. So I can step into the fiction that far. I can step into it enough that I can have freedom of movement and I can get about doing the things I need to do rather than being polarized about it and being an extremist about it and saying, well, I'm not going to have any part of it at all because all I do is make it difficult for myself to get through life. I mean, I prefer they weren't there. Of course, I would prefer to be living in a situation where I didn't have a driver's license or registration. But at the moment, if I go down that road, then I spend all my time on the side of the road arguing my point, and I never really get anything done because I'm sitting there trying to establish my freedom every step of the way. And it becomes counterproductive. I'd much prefer to get into a situation where I became free, where the world became free, and I didn't have to argue about my rights on the side of the road with an agent of the state. And so that's what you've got to do when you look at all of this stuff, folks. You look at the cryptocurrency, you look at this whole financial system. There's certain aspects to it that we can use to gain the support that we need to perhaps move us towards freedom if we're clever at the way we apply ourselves to these things. Just don't be too polarized in your thinking with any of it. It's the same with mobile phones and things. I mean, when I talk about people not using mobile phones, what I'm saying is don't use these to perform banking. Don't use these things to perform commerce. Don't use them to surf the internet all day and to track everywhere you go and to sign into places everywhere on your mobile phone. Don't use the Facebook Messenger app on a mobile phone because it's a surveillance app. I mean, sure, if you're in a foreign country and you need to use Google Maps to find your way around, there's nothing wrong with doing that. There's no reason in making your life difficult simply because you want to step outside the system completely. It's just how you use the tool. I mean, you can still use a mobile phone, but there's certain things you just shouldn't do on them if you want to maintain freedom. Again, you can't be polarized in your thinking. You've just got to be prudent in what you do and be aware of what you're being involved in when you're using these little personal assistants and all these apps that drain your life skills and your thinking ability from you. Just being sensible about things, folks. It's the same as the cryptos, just being sensible about it. I mean, don't shop digitally, don't use digital cash to buy things in the supermarket, but at the same time, there's nothing wrong with you putting a little bit of spare money into cryptocurrency and turning it into 10 or 20 times as much money and then drawing it out, turning it back into silver or gold or real currency and doing something with it, buying a house or whatever. There's certainly nothing wrong with doing that while the market is in the state that it's in and you have the opportunity to do it. I say people should be embracing this sort of opportunity and not being polarized in their thinking. It's just how you use the tool. Like I said, you can have digital currency but not spend digitally. You don't have to go to supermarkets that don't have tellers and don't accept cash. You should always shop with cash, and there's Bitcoin ATMs where you can go and draw cash out, so you can do that. So there's no real problem in using these things if they're used in the right way. I'm just seeing a lot of polarized thinking, like with so many things. People think it's either the be-all and end-all, or they think that it's the devil in disguise. But there's always a middle ground, folks. These things are just tools, and it's all about how we use them. And I just wanted to clear that up, because there seems to be so much confusion with cryptocurrencies, and I think a lot of people are missing out on some pretty good opportunities to get themselves out of the financial situations that they're in. And it would be a shame to see people lose that opportunity. And again, if it does all slip over to digital anyway, if it is going to go down that direction and it's going to go that way and there's nothing you can do about it, then why wouldn't you want to get in there and have a little bit of a stake, get your $200 to pass go? I mean, it makes perfect sense to me anyway. And the thing is, you know, having met a lot of the cryptocurrency crew at Acapulco, I mean, these aren't CIA agents, folks. These are people that have just come up with an idea. And when you understand how cryptocurrency works, it's not really what people think it is. I mean, people are making cryptocurrency coins based on all sorts of bizarre things, like I'm hearing about Remedy coins and all sorts of bizarre things. And when you see how the currency is made, which I've sort of got a little bit of an education on now with Steemit, you see how the currency is made. It's quite a interesting concept, the way it's all put together, and the way it can be used as a medium of trade. And I really can't understand what the crypto crew are attempting to do with cryptocurrencies and how they are attempting to free people from the banking system. And there is an awful lot of disinformation out there regarding cryptocurrencies. And even like I said earlier, people misconstruing what my view on these things is. I mean, I went to the Acapulco conference and I spoke to the crypto crew and I suggested to them that they exercise a little bit of hubris in what they're doing because of the umbrella of social crediting that the government is wanting to bring in, which will circumvent what they are trying to do with cryptocurrencies. And the talk was received really, really well. I mean, they totally got what I was trying to say. And they totally got that there's a whole side of it that they're just not looking at. And in many ways, they are allowing hubris to dictate their actions. As I keep saying, you know, what people need to do is factor in the reality that the world is run by criminals, and don't think that they're not watching this and they're not going to attempt to curtail it and lead it in the direction they want to lead it into. So you just have to take that into account. But by saying all that and warning people about how cryptos can be subverted and led in the wrong direction, this isn't suggesting that there's anything inherently wrong with cryptocurrencies, because the whole concept is a good concept. If you're going to have currency at all, this is a good concept. It's a good way to lead us away from the control that central banksters have over our society. It's just that it's become a very polarized argument. You know, the whole fear of AI and all of this sort of stuff, I mean, it's a very real fear. AI is a very real problem that we're facing. And a cashless control grid run by social crediting is a very real problem. But at the same time, these are just tools that are being used to control us, but they are also tools that can be turned around and used to free us. It's just how you use the tool. It's the same as the analogy I made with television, how movies have been used to program people, and now we're making movies to deprogram people. It's just how you use the tool. So people need to really look at this and really consider the possibilities that we have by using some of these tools in a way that will affect us in a positive way. Because if we fail to do that, that's the problem. The powers that believe they be will use the tools to lead us in the wrong direction. But there's enough of us now that if we use these same tools to lead us in the direction that we want to go, well, there's more of us than there is of them, so there's not going to be a lot they can do about it. The problem is a lot of people are failing to pick the tools up because they're scared of them, because they are so polarized in their thinking. They think it's either one direction or the other, and they can't see there's a middle ground. They can't see that they really have any control over the situation at all. But they do. We control everything. We control the whole direction everything goes, folks, because with whatever system they bring in, it's us that holds it up anyway. You know, the whole fiat system is us that held it up. The whole control grid, it's been us that's held it up the whole time. The whole belief in authority and all the stuff that we've done, all the programming that we've been subject to, which has caused us to do this stuff, but still, it's us that's held the whole system up. What we're seeing now is a big awakening where we're realizing that we can hold up the sort of system we want to hold up. It's just where we want to go. And it's going to be determined by the focus that we get. So let's get a little bit of focus and let's move the human race in the direction we want to go, because we finally have the tools to do it. Just don't become polarized and miss out on the opportunity. That's all I'm suggesting with all this. And I mean, to be honest, there's been an awful lot of fear-mongering put out there with the cryptocurrencies, you know, relating it to the AI and blah, blah, blah. And people, again, aren't looking at the opportunities that these things provide. They're not really looking at the bigger picture. You know, even with an AI system wouldn't be bad if it was a system that was based on real human parameters. You know, the problem with the AI system that's coming online is the fact that it's going to be based on social crediting, and it's based on this whole politically correct rubbish that is being pushed into the human psyche by our governments, because all of this politically correct rubbish is about repressing emotions more than anything. It's not about helping people. It's not about keeping people safe. It's not about stopping people from being offended and making sure everyone's treated equally. It's about repressing emotions. It's about repressing the human spirit and repressing human potential by not allowing people to be human. That's what it's all about. So, you know, again, these are all things that can be taken in either direction. There's nothing wrong with technology. There's nothing wrong with digital. There's nothing wrong with any of the things that are being used to enslave us. It's just the fact of who controls the technology. That's what's wrong, folks. What's wrong is the fact that the world's run by criminals. And we need to factor that in. And even when looking at this whole QAnon thing, sure, if there's going to be mass arrests and certain criminals are going to be arrested, that's great. But the fact that nobody is talking about the control grid through all this, you know, they're talking about FEMA camps, they're talking about this, they're talking about that, but they're not talking about the smart grid. They're not talking about the Internet of Things. They're not talking about the whole cashless grid. And nobody through the whole process is talking about 5G. And 5G is a very damaging system just in the fact that it's 5G and it uses a millimeter wave. So the fact that no one's talking about this is kind of a red flag. So just be careful where you're being led, ladies and gentlemen, and make sure you always have a plan B. But folks, I think we've reached break time here, so I'll leave it there for now. We're going to have a break. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company. And I'll speak to you again in a few minutes. Don't go away. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Now, while all these theatres of conflict are happening in the world, and while the QAnon information is coming out there and keeping people entertained, while there is so much going on, right on the back of it, something else we're seeing in the United States is an interesting push for gun control by the youth of America. It seems the programming is complete in American schools. We have the youth out there protesting that we need gun reform right now and demanding that this happen. These kids obviously have no real concept of what the Second Amendment is all about. And the mere concept that they would be pushing for the balance of power to be shifted so far towards government that they would believe militarized police are the only ones who should be allowed firearms in their country. Well, it just goes a long way to show how well the youth has been programmed through this education system. It really does. And bear in mind, of course, that America is a country which contains 5% of the world's population and 25% of the world's jail population. America has the largest prison population in the history of the world. And this is the country, this is the people that they want to give the police more powers and the government more powers, and they wish to push to remove the people of any ability to defend themselves against the police and to be able to defend themselves against what is coming. And while this is happening, people still believe Trump is their friend. It's quite amazing. And Trump is pushing for this as well. Trump's saying, yes, yes, we need gun control. The other day he was saying we need to take the guns first and worry about due process second. So he's pushing this, the kids are pushing this, and unfortunately the programming of the general population in the United States seems to be almost complete. If the people of the United States ever do surrender their firearms, that will be them giving up the only chance they ever had of removing themselves from the clutches of the criminal kakistocracy, which is currently in control of their country and in control of most of the world, you know. Unfortunately, the United States is a military machine which is run by the Vatican and run by globalist forces anyway. And it does a lot of damage around the world, but the only people who can stop that military machine are the people of the United States. And if they surrender their arms and they surrender any opportunity that they once had to free the world of the menace that is the United States government, well, that is the puppet show that is referred to as the United States government anyway. It'd be a very terrible thing if the United States surrenders their firearms, and it's very unfortunate to see the youth of America to be so programmed they're actually doing the government's work for them. Back in the 60s, they would be up in arms about this. They would be protesting in the streets and marching against their government. And now we see the youth marching for their government. And they're doing it under the belief that they're actually marching against the government. They're saying, yes, we will march to the White House. We will march to Washington. We will march to the government buildings. And they don't even realize that they're actually doing the government's work for them by doing so. They're not protesting government at all. They're supporting their government. And they are supporting the disarming of their population, and unfortunately by doing so, they are supporting their own slavery. But then, of course, you have to wonder how many of them are actually supporting it, because it's been presented by the mainstream media as being a mass walkout of students in protest of all these shootings. But what you hear from the students is that they were actually ushered to go out and told to go out by their teachers, and that many of them didn't know they even had a choice in the matter. They just went with the crowd and went with the flow because they thought that's what they had to do. So much of this is contrived. Anyway, folks, it's all propaganda. Everything you're fed by the media is propaganda, and there's always a higher agenda. And I don't think it's really the kids that are pushing it this much. I think it's just simply what the media has constructed, because the government needs to make it look this way. That way the government gets to usher in gun control and disarm the people and make it look like it was the people's choice to do that. And they actually had to disarm the people because the people demanded that they do. Oh yes, please take our rights away. Please take our guns away. Make us safe by making it impossible for us to defend ourselves against anything you would like to do in the future. That's going to make it all good. And of course, the entire concept is completely and utterly ludicrous. If you want to stop the shootings, the school shootings in the United States, remove the United States of all the alphabet agencies. Get rid of the CIA. That would be a good start. You'll see a lot of shootings drop off the map then. Disarm the CIA and kick all the dual Israeli citizens out of the government, you'll find that these shootings will dry up pretty quickly. And if you want to remove the people of the firearms and you want to remove automatic weapons from the people, then remove them from the government first. And once you've done that, then it may be possible to remove them from the people. But if you're going to remove them from the people before you remove them from the militarized thugs that you have driving around in police vehicles, then you're terminally stupid. And all you're doing is the government's work for them by helping them in the construction of the smart prison system that they are building around the population. And people are really pushing for this, and they simply don't know what they're pushing. They really don't. There was one guy who was doing a live video, a live stream from out the front of a government building somewhere, but it had pairs of shoes all over the lawn representing every child who'd been killed in a shooting since Sandy Hook or something like that. 7,000 pairs of shoes on the lawn. I can't particularly see that there's been 7,000 people killed since Sandy Hook, but anyway, that's what I saw on the video. And what I thought was that if you were to put a pair of shoes there for every person who's been killed by their own government in the last century, you would have 262 million pairs of shoes on that lawn, and you would have 262 million reasons why you must never give up your arms and never give up your guns and surrender your guns to government. I mean, anybody who believes that the balance of power should be pushed so far to the right that the only people that are armed in society are militarized police is absolutely crazy. This is absolutely insane to be thinking this sort of thing. Now, there are countries in Europe, I think Sweden, I always get Sweden and Switzerland mixed up, I think it's Sweden, where every citizen is required to own a firearm by law, and they're required to be trained in its use, and there's virtually no gun crime in that country. Now, you don't reduce gun crime by taking guns away. You reduce gun crime by educating the people, and in the case of the United States, I'd say the best way to reduce gun crime, as I mentioned earlier, would be to disband the CIA. But no, Donald Trump has a better idea, as it appears he is making the director of the CIA the new Secretary of State. That's just wonderful, isn't it? We'll put the ex-head of the CIA in charge of foreign policy and running the war machine. That's going to work great, isn't it? Good move, Donald. While this push for gun control is on, that should show the people that you're really on their side. It's just like a sideshow, isn't it, folks? Some of the stuff that they do, I mean, you just can't make this stuff up, really. Like what we've just seen in England with this terrible nerve agent attack against Sergei Skripal. I mean, what an absolute joke, ladies and gentlemen. Like a Russian spy is going to sneak into the UK and use an exotic nerve agent to poison a guy at a pizza store. And this, of course, must be traced back to Russia, and it just shows how terrible Russia is and shows why we need to go to war with Russia. I mean, this is just incredible, folks. I don't know how they get anybody to believe this stuff, really. And whoever makes this stuff up, I mean, you think they could at least think of something vaguely possible and vaguely tangible and vaguely doable. I mean, something that may actually happen in the real world. I mean, not the concept of a Russian spy sneaking in to poison someone with an exotic nerve agent that can easily be traced back to Russia at a pizza store. Then, of course, within 5 minutes of the incident happening, you get Theresa May standing up in Parliament House saying it's very, very likely that it was Russia. Of course, it's just unbelievable, folks, and it shows how desperate these people are. You know, there's really so much theatre going on in the world at the moment that you really should stop and look around you at what's going on beneath your feet. I mean, why do you think they're doing all this? And there's so much, folks. There really is. There's just so much going on. You know, all this posturing in the United States, the posturing against North Korea, the posturing against Russia, all this stuff going on in England, stuff going on all over Europe. It's just crazy. It's just absolutely crazy. And again, the whole concept of North Korea going to war with the United States is completely and utterly ridiculous. This is a puppet regime anyway. It always has been ever since the Korean War, which is another war that should never have happened. I mean, like I constantly say, folks, there are no good guys and there are no bad guys. It's just theatre for the masses. It's a puppet show to distract you from what's happening right beneath your feet, which is the smart grid. But oh no, the threat is gun control. The threat is Russia leaving exotic nerve agents lying around Salisbury in England. And this is a great excuse as well. They said, oh, this may pollute the area for years to come. Only take a tiny, tiny little trace and people are going to get sick. Great place to do exotic weapons testing from now on. Great place to release nerve agents. Great place to release toxins and just blame it on Russia. Oh, it's just this nerve agent that they left lying around a few years ago. There's a great window of opportunity for them for whatever nefarious plans they have for the population sometime in the future. Never put it past these people to create a little window for something that they want to do sometime in the future, folks. They do it all the time. And look, I know it's all very exciting looking at all this information dump that's coming from QAnon. I know it's all very exciting watching all of this stuff unfold and grabbing the popcorn and watching the spy show and thinking that it's all going to lead to safety. And I've been getting a lot of flack because I'm not going down that pathway and totally supporting what Q is saying and saying, yes, this is going to lead us to safety. Simply because I've seen it so many times before, folks. I really have. I've seen them offer this sort of thing. I've seen so many people talk about white hats there behind the scenes that are going to do the right thing by us. I've seen people talk about how we're going to be saved by this and saved by that. I've been waiting for disclosure since 1976. So forgive me if I'm a little jaded, and forgive me if I suggest to people that they have a plan B, because that's what I've seen. I've seen a lot of people put down their activism and think, oh, here it is. We've got this white knight arrive on a shining charger who's going to save us all, and people put down their activism, and people simply stop, and they watch, and they wait, and they hope to be saved. And I've seen it happen so many times, and I'm just suggesting that people pay attention, because Even if there are mass arrests, I mean, I've said it a lot of times, but even if there are mass arrests, folks, the smart grid's still rolling out, and that's the problem. The problem is the 5G grid, the smart grid, the IoT, the cashless grid that is being rolled out, and the whole 5G system, folks. Again, this is an active denial system. I'm not hearing any talk about this from Q. I'm not hearing any talk about the smart grid. I'm not hearing any talk about social crediting. I'm not hearing any talk about anything that actually means anything, nothing that we didn't already know, and it's always the same. And that's why I put out that show last week, and I titled it Hope is a Scam, Like Authority. And I got a lot of flack from that. A lot of people were saying that, oh, you're trying to be negative, you're trying to tell people that they should lose all hope. And I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is action is better than hope. We're just told to sit there and hope for change all the time, rather than actually making change ourselves. I mean, sure, hope for things, hope for a better day, hope for things good to happen, but don't depend on that hope. You know, someone once said, take a hope in one hand and take a dump in the other and see which one fills up quicker. And that's what it is, folks. You've got to get out there and do things rather than just hope for change. Make that change yourself. I mean, sure, hope, but work to make it happen. Otherwise, the hope is wasted. Otherwise, it doesn't lead anywhere. It's just another wasted emotion that keeps us in slavery and it doesn't lead anywhere. You know, hope that doesn't lead anywhere and hope that doesn't lead to action is wasted hope. It doesn't do anything. It's a waste of time. And that's all I was attempting to say with that. And I don't really care if I burn a few fingers with that. I don't really care if I upset people with that. I'm not really here to make friends. I'm here to try to slap people awake because we need people to wake up. We need people to get motivated into action rather than hoping someone else gets motivated into action. That's basically what a lot of hope is. A lot of hope is just hoping someone else will do it for you. I mean, really, you should do it for yourself. Ultimately, it's all about self-empowerment, folks. That's really what it's about. That's what all the shows are about, self-empowerment. Even the suggestion that you get involved in the Empower movement and send these affidavits in, it's just about self-empowerment. It's about getting people motivated to do something. If people want to do something, people look at the system and they say, what can I do? Well, here's some things you can do. And as I've said, even lodging affidavits against these people, I don't really expect to get any legal remedy that way. What I hope to get from it is empowerment from people. You know, what I hope to get is that people will feel that they have some worth and they'll feel they have some value and it will motivate them to want to take further action. Now, so that's turning hope into some sort of positive action, at least with the hope that I have that people will wake up to themselves. I do take steps to make that come into fruition. Everything I do on the radio shows is about helping people feel better about themselves and helping people understand the reality that they actually do have power. They do have value, that we're just people. Everybody's just people. The whole world's just run by people. There's no reason we have to do any of this. And that's what really frustrates me through this whole thing more than anything else is the fact that people can't see the value of themselves and they allow themselves to be led so easily and spoken down to so easily and ruled so easily when they don't need to be. But it gets difficult, folks, you know, coming on to the show and attempting to empower people by bringing them all this negative information. I mean, it's a difficult thing to do because we've got all this really bad stuff going on in the world. We've got all these things that we need to deal with. And the only way we can deal with it is for people to be aware of the problems. But in the process, they need to feel that they can actually do something about the problem. So in the process, they need to feel better about themselves. They need to understand who and what they are. Because it is in understanding who and what they are that they will find the power to actually heal this situation. But they have to be prepared to face the situation and deal with the problems that are actually there and admit that they're there. Because if they're not going to admit they're there, then they're not going to deal with them and nothing's going to get better. They can go and do all the self-help work they like and get all the nice self-help books they want and get a great little apartment in Malibu or whatever and do everything really cool and have a really nice little environment for themselves to live in. But they're not really helping things. They're not really improving the situation at all if they're ignoring the bigger picture. You know, and if we were to look at the bigger picture and face it, we could heal it very quickly. So it's a fine line and it's a hard path to walk, bringing information to people regarding reality and attempting to empower them in the process. I mean, most people would think, well, if we understand about reality, well, that must be empowering to begin with. But no, it's not really like that, folks, because enlightenment is a destructive process. Enlightenment is a breaking down of everything you think to be true. Enlightenment is a very, very confrontational place to be. It's a very confrontational path for people to go down. Because enlightenment is bringing light to the shadow. It's facing the shadow. It's facing the darkness in the world and realizing what needs to be done to heal that darkness. Because all of that healing needs to come from us. It needs to come from within each individual out there. We all have the power to do it. It exists dormant within each of us. And we need to embrace that power. But in order to do it, we need to face the problem. So, like I said, folks, it's a fine line. And what I've attempted to do with the show today is at least maybe offer some paths to freedom for people. I mean, what I was saying about the cryptocurrencies earlier, there's a good chance people can make a little bit of an income out of this and get themselves in some sort of a financially secure situation whereby they can have the time they need to turn and face the system. Because that's a lot of the reason people can't is because they're too busy running on the treadmill. They simply don't have time to even do the research they need to know what's going on in the world. So it's a tricky situation for people to be in. Many people want the truth. They want to know what's going on. They want to have the time to research. But at the same time, they need to put a roof over their heads. They need to feed the kids. They need to do the normal things that people need to do to get through life. So it becomes very difficult. So, you know, getting involved in these cryptos may provide a bit of a window of opportunity for people. And the prices of cryptos are pretty low at the moment, so chances are it's probably a pretty good time to get involved if you've got a little bit of spare cash lying around. Like I said, maybe that will provide people with the security that they will need to actually have the time they need to be able to affect some change in the world, because that's really one of the problems that we have, is that people just don't have the time because they're too busy, caught up with the rigors of life. Yeah, so it's quite understandable that people don't get the time to do the sort of thing that I do and that other people do. It's quite understandable that people just don't want to know what's going on. They just don't want to know the truth. It's quite understandable that a lot of the people, that even the listeners out there try to talk to, simply don't want to know because it conflicts too much with their life. You know, if you tell them some of this stuff, it means they may have to stop and think about it. They may want to actually go and research it, and they simply don't have time to do it, because they're too busy running on the treadmill. They got to pay the bills. They got to do what the kids want to do. They got to do what this wants to do and what that wants to do and what their boss tells them to do and all this stuff that they got to do, which is all completely meaningless and doesn't mean anything anyway, but they think that it does because that's what their programming says. So, you know, it's a tricky situation. You know, if they had some sort of financial stability and some sort of independent wealth, well, maybe they'd have time to look at it. So maybe people can do a little bit of that with cryptos. And hey, if you're a generous person, maybe you'd invest a little bit in cryptos and make a lot of money out of it and give some away. Give people some spare time. That could be a good thing to do as well. You know, create spare time for people by employing them to research. Say, hey, take a month off work and I'll pay you to stay home and read this stuff. Watch these DVDs and look at this information and then spread it to others. You never know. You may get some luck out of that. And if you're a crypto millionaire, who knows? You may be able to do that. Maybe you invested a small amount of money and made a huge amount of money, and you could use that to employ people to wake up. That would be an interesting concept, wouldn't it? Employ people to sit there and improve their brain power. That would be an interesting thing to do. I'd like to see some sort of a crypto entrepreneur do something like that. A self-enlightenment school where you actually get paid to become smart and get paid to become awake. That would be a clever thing to do. There's an interesting proposal for someone who wants to get creative with their newfound wealth anyway. And why not, folks? If you got a lot of money out of Bitcoin, you didn't invest much in there to begin with, well, why not pay it forward by improving human intelligence? I mean, it can't hurt. Who knows, if more people do it, maybe we'll create some sort of a viable future for ourselves. I'd love to see something like that, folks. I'd love to see a crypto millionaire put some of their money into a truth movement, put their money into doing something to wake the world up or pushing it forward in some way. It would be a great thing to do. I know if I ever make millions out of cryptocurrency, I'll certainly put it into something like that. I mean, why not, folks? Imagine if a lot of people in the truth movement did make a lot of money out of cryptocurrency and they put it all towards massive advertising campaigns and started creating the type of infrastructure that's been put in place to brainwash and program people, and created the same type of infrastructure and used it to deprogram people. It could be quite an interesting thing to do. And who knows, folks, maybe it will happen. Now, something good's got to happen, something positive's got to happen, and I think something positive is going to happen. You can kind of feel it, you know, like the world is on the verge of something. The powers that believe they be certainly want to take it in one direction, but that seems to be falling apart. I mean, even if you don't believe that anything's going to come from the mass arrests and everything that QAnon's talking about, and I don't think anything's really going to come of it, nothing of real substance, at least it is waking a lot of people up, and at least it is bringing about some sort of positive change in the overall psyche of mankind. And people are becoming aware of how corrupt things are. They can't really deny it anymore. It's just so in their face that denying it is kind of like some sort of exercise in futility, really. The best thing we could really do is just run with it and say, okay, well, mass arrests, okay, now we're not tolerating wrong behavior, so we're all assuming that we're free now. And if people can make a reasonable amount of stake for themselves out of cryptocurrency, well, maybe they can free themselves from the system. But again, they've just got to look at the social crediting and the smart grid and all the stuff that goes along with it. And this whole push to disarm the people of the United States, I mean, you can't put up with this, ladies and gentlemen. You can't allow yourself to be disarmed. This is really not what the United States of America is all about. The United States of America was founded by people who saw the need for an armed population because of the rise and fall of tyranny that we've seen over history. They could see that, and they could see the potential for that to happen in the United States, and that is exactly what is happening in the United States. And for any good that people think Trump is doing, and for any of the stuff that's coming out with QAnon or any of this stuff, to be seeing this push for gun control right at the same time should be a bit of a wake-up call for people. It really should. You know, it doesn't matter whether you think Trump is a good guy or the bad guy. The fact is that Trump works for government, and government is not your friend. You might think he works for the people, but he doesn't. He's sitting in the Oval Office. He works for government. And if he wasn't selected for that position, then he wouldn't have that position. It doesn't matter how many people voted for him and how many people didn't. It doesn't really matter. The votes are irrelevant. Sure, they hold sway to some degree, but we all know how corrupt the system is. We all know how rigged it is. Why would anybody think that it is different this time? Just pay attention, folks, and even if you're really getting behind all this stuff that's coming out from QAnon, just make sure you have a plan B. That's all I'm saying, is make sure you have a plan B. Well, ladies and gentlemen, unfortunately, we've reached that time again where we are at the end of this show. I hope the topics weren't too convoluted for you today. I just wanted to point out a couple of the things that I've been considering about cryptocurrencies and point out to people that there's a bit of an opportunity there for those who may want to make a little bit of money on the side while this market is doing what it's doing. I mean, I think it's something that's worth looking into. I think there's been a lot of fear porn spread in regard to cryptocurrencies, and I think it's important that people look at the bigger picture with all this because, like I said, I think there are opportunities there. A lot of people have been asking me about the Cambo workshops that I'm going to be holding. There will be a couple of workshops that happen in Holland around about probably April 20 or April 22nd. Before that time, I will get some sort of a banner up on the website, or I will make an announcement on the radio show, and I'll get some sort of an email link put up there where people can book into these workshops if they want to come and attend. I'll probably do two or three workshops. There'll probably be 7 to 10 people at each workshop, and that will be all that I'm doing in Holland. I may possibly do some in LA later in May. That would be sometime after May 15th, but I'll get back to you in regard to that as well. I still don't have any information regarding the Chemtrail conference that I'm apparently speaking at in West Virginia. I know the conference is going ahead, and I know I'm speaking there, but I still haven't been sent any banners for that. But I will get one up on the website as soon as one becomes available. I've had a few people express interest in that as well. And the same goes for Regeneration, which will be happening either late May or early June. And I'll get a banner up for that when one becomes available. Again, these will be the last talks that I'm doing in 2018. I don't expect to be doing any more talks until 2020, except perhaps Anacapulco next February 2019. That's about the only talk that I'm expecting to do in 2019. I really do want to spend that year working on the films and get them up and running and released to everybody. And that's about the plan for things as it sits at the moment. But thank you for joining me on the air today, folks. It's always a pleasure to have your company. Thank you, thank you, thank you to all of my Patreon supporters. I really can't thank you enough. And thank you to all those who support me on Steemit as well. Please do go and sign up to Steemit, folks. Like I said, I'm going to be posting there a lot more than I am on Facebook or any other platforms. And I thank you for all those who support me on all of these platforms, most especially my Patreon supporters, because I could not do any of this and I could not keep this show going were it not for you people. You people seriously do rock, and I love you with all my heart. I really do. And I'm absolutely honest in saying that. But that is it for me, folks. It's been a pleasure speaking to you again today. I'll look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take very good care until then. In La Keshe.